With us now is Alan Migliorato, and he is a Florida business owner and co-founder of Adventure Catholic Leadership Training. Alan, how you doing today?
Hey, Father. Always happy to be here. Hope you're doing well.
Listen, did you get your nativity scene up in your house?
Always.
How many do you have?
Well, I had a friend at church, an older gentleman, give me one of the blow molds, like from the 60s or 50s that he had, or 70s. And so we have that at our front door. Then we have one in front of our fireplace, a little one. And then there's like another little Pikes one when my kids were little, like it was a toy that we bought them.
Yeah.
So that's still up somewhere. I think we probably have five, but I'm not sure, possibly more. I know my wife does all the decorating. Every time I come home, there seems to be a new decoration up somewhere that I have to say, she goes, "Do you notice anything different?" And I go, "Oh,
oh
gosh.
No, here we go. Did you cut your hair? Did you go to the beauty shop?
It's your hair. You look great.
Oh, you got your nails done, huh?
It's usually a decoration.
Oh, geez. Yeah. It's always something. But no, I'm. That's one of the things. It's interesting because, again, part of having an active faith is to have the nativity scene in your home, and we often take that for granted. As you heard, I was just been recommended. I know you had a daughter that just got married about a year ago or so. And I said, hopefully they got their nativity scene up.
I bought them two so far.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So they definitely have their nativity scene.
Well, great. Well, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, working with parents and teens, I can tell you firsthand that the norm of what families looked like in the past is quite different than what a family looks like today, and every family looks different. But we're seeing single-parent households, divorced families, never-married families like we've never seen before, like the numbers are kind of skyrocketed. And often we hear, you know, we ask the question, you know, how can these families raise their children and know the love of a two-parent, like a mother and father household? But I think, though, the question that we should be asking is how can we, or I, make these families feel more welcome to church? So what are we doing personally to help these families learn how to model the type of family God had in mind when he created Adam and Eve? And keep in mind, that family also had some major issues. The Adam and Eve and their kids, like, that was a mess. You know, they made a mess out of it. But many people point to the Holy Family as the perfect family. And that's awesome. I think that's a good role model for us. And sometimes you feel like I'll never live up to that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, they were sent into exile for a few years. They didn't have an easy life of it. They say they're perfect. We're talking about the character of the people, but we're not talking about the world, and the world always will bring challenges.
Well, right. We live in the world, not of the world.
Yeah.
But I think pointing to the Holy Family and saying, well, you know, model yourself after them, just that alone, the pointing, doesn't allow us to accompany families to get closer to God. Simply pointing won't do it. We can't just point and say, go. We have to walk along with them. So we need to know what that looks like in reality. And I think, like, my parish, for example, we have, like, a single mom, a single dad, like a single parent group. Right, so that there's child care. We'll offer child care during Mass, or they'll have like a, you know, social gathering for these people to kind of get together and to know support. We can also be good role models ourselves. Instead of being angry at the mom who's got three kids and we're saying, well, how come she doesn't have her husband here? You know, or of course she doesn't have her husband. And we say, you know, I don't say anything, but I mean, you hear like these rude and snide remarks sometimes, and we're not really accompanying these people to get closer to Christ. And I think it's a great thing that we can do is to role model that there is love out there in families. You know, those families that you see in church where there's a husband, wife, and they got three or four kids, that those families are the ones that need to reach out. Those are the ones that need to say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're by yourself. Would you like to come, you know, to lunch with us? Or is there anything, you know, we can do to help you? And a lot of times, being a single parent, you tend to be a little more sensitive toward those things because you're embarrassed. Like, well, I don't want to explain to you why I'm a single parent. It's really none of your business. Whether the child was had out of wedlock or there was a divorce or whatever it was, they don't want to explain. So don't look for the explanation. Just reach out in love to these people. I think we need to be proactive. I think we need to listen. To listen more, just having someone to talk to is really a great thing for like a single adult who only really deals with their children. And think about this: if they're in church and they're annoying you, at least they're in church. You
That's
know,
right.
So like they're in the right place. You know, maybe we got to change our hearts a little bit.
Well, and you know, you've already shown how to model that. I remember the story you said when you're at Disney World. And, you know, the story, oh, geez, he's got another person now, where the family keeps growing and growing as you're going through Disney World. And that's a true thing. And oftentimes to I always find people are often particularly generous around Christmas time, because they know, you know, we have these phrases to have a good Christmas or a bad Christmas. We use those phrases oftentimes. And, you know, you don't know what it means until you had a bad one. And what is a bad Christmas? It often means when you feel isolated or unloved or lonely. And then to offer these opportunities for others is a great gift of charity. And for us, it shouldn't be an option. It should be a requirement, huh?
For sure. Yeah, and there's a gentleman in a prayer group that I lead that he had his mom and his dad died on Christmas and Christmas Eve, but like not the same year. But like he hates the holidays, and I never understood growing up, like, how could you hate Christmas? I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. How could you hate Christmas? And like hearing these stories, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so self-centered, you know, like I'm only looking at me. How can I help him this Christmas? Like, oh my gosh, like I never even thought about somebody experiencing tragedy at this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the time where we need to reach out to those people, right? And say, not just this time of year, but this is when we can become aware of it right now, today, whether it's July or August. It's today, right now. Be aware of the people that are around you, that you might see a church all the time by themselves, or just a single parent with their kids. Reach out to them and say, hey, I see you here all the time. I just wanted to introduce myself, and you've probably seen me, but it's good to meet you, you know. And create a conversation. That's sometimes, and without an explanation of, well, where's your husband or where's your wife or what happened, just be a human being to somebody else. And that by itself, like us being a role model for somebody, that love can be passed on. And I think that's important for us to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting quote I saw from Dorothy Day, and she was interesting. She says, you know, you can tell someone's a Christian if they ask somebody if they're hungry. You can tell somebody is a communist if they ask why they're hungry, you know? And I think that there's an essence in there that's true, that it's just, do you need some help,
sure.
You know? Or again, you know, that kindness is, again, part of our whole Christian way of life. And not in terms of asking why, it's just saying, what can we do? That we're not into prying and trying to resolve the issue. We're into help bring peace to people.
You know, I remember we're talking about like also not making people feel like they can't live up to, like you said, like the Holy Family. They went through a lot of things too. You know, there was a lot of struggle that family went through. So I did a talk one time to a group of men. It was probably a couple hundred men. And I was talking about St. Joseph and how the importance of, you know, just being a silent at times, which is difficult for me, partner and supporting, you know, just supporting silently and being there and being steadfast and committed is important to us as men. And afterwards, a gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I can't live up to St. Joseph. I wish you wouldn't use that as an example. And I said, well, no one's asking you to live up to him. We're just saying that's a good role model to look at. So I think when we look at the Holy Family as a role model, that's what we strive for. We strive for that perfection and love. But there's circumstances that we can't avoid. And I think that's a really important thing to remember, to not turn away from looking at the Holy Family because we can't think we don't think we can live up to them, but just use that as a role model, as an inspiration for there is that kind of love available out there. And pray to God that you find it.
You know, we forget oftentimes when Joseph was described in the Bible in Matthew's gospel as a just man. Well, Mary was described as full of grace. And so that notion of a just man means he's a fair man, he's a kind man, he helps people with their needs. To be just, to be righteous, is something anybody can do.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's so easy to remember. We can choose to be angry, we can choose to be kind, we can choose to ignore somebody. So choose to do something out of love this year, or today, or this weekend at Mass, for somebody that you don't know. Just reach out and say hi.
Now, by the way, Alan, you're the same kind of build as I am. Have you had to play Santa Claus yet?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You get your own costume? Do you have your
really
own costume?
Or
see, I had to get my own costume because they didn't make them big enough for me.
And it's really comfortable. Honestly, I wouldn't mind. If it was chillier here, I wouldn't mind wearing it more often.
Well, the beard, really that beard is it. I'm not a beard person. To wear the kind of fake beard, that irritates my skin. But no, I don't mind. You know, I can handle red as a color. I was just thinking about that today for some reason. I don't know why. It had no meaning other than just wondered if you played Santa, because like I said, you and I, we could be like the Santa twins.
Yeah, we should set that up.
That's right. Well, Alan, thanks for being with us today. And if people want to go and find out more about Adventure Catholic and see all the great video and audio work you're doing, where can we send them?
Check out AdventureCatholic.com, and there are going to be links to our social media stuff on AdventureCatholic.com.
Great. Thanks for being with us today, Alan.
Okay. God bless.